We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Haw, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I feel like they're going to be ready to play because it's a division game. And they know what's at stake, you know, positioning-wise in our division. We got to be ready for their best game. So whatever they decide to do, we got to be able to counter that match.
This is Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Akeem Hicks. He is a regular contributor despite David.
Despite me. Okay.
In his line of questions.
Check me out, man.
Not going to outgrow that one for a while. That was
that was the best.
That was fun. I wonder how his
and he's talking
Bears
about,
After Dark went last
night. I don't know. I did not attend. I wish I had.
We weren't invited.
Well, I mean, again, I just like to get the free food. Yeah, you know me.
That's probably why we weren't invited.
Speaking of which, is this segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão as well, or was that just wrong?
Have you ever been there?
Oh, my.
Yeah, once.
Yeah.
One time.
Mouth-watering.
You know, it's amazing.
Can't
place.
Talk about how great it is.
You have a, they give you like a chip, and if it's green, it means go, and they just keep bringing you meat. And if it's red, it's like, let me eat the pile of meat I have here. And they do, it's extraordinary. The first time I went there, no one told me about the up and down chip. So I had green going, and I mean, I was like, oh, no, what? Oh.
They were
like,
talking about you in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. They're like, that guy's still
that
going.
Guy? Did you see that
Take
guy?
Take his chip away oh from my him, God. For God's sake.
It was awful. I mean, it was glorious, but it was rough.
Food coma.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to hear from Akeem Hicks. You know, they get back to work today. Bears, it's a big deal, and they've made quite an impression. And one of the guys that we have talked to about this season, Brian Baldinger from the NFL analyst.
Love Baldy.
He is as good as they come in terms of breaking things down. I think, okay, that's my opinion. I like to watch what he has to say. He breaks down line play.
Yes.
He understands what he's watching, and he does a nice job of bringing clarity to maybe things that look complex. He was talking, he was all in on the Bears. And
he still is.
He is having fun with this season. And he was on Twitter yesterday, and he released some videos, as he does every week. And the one where he just evaluated Khalil Mack's pass rush, where he dismissed the tight end, ran over the offensive tackle,
that's great,
and then got to Matthew Stafford, the one every Chicagoan has watched about 20 times. This is what Baldy had to say after watching Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack is back, and this is what he watched. Watch what he does here. To Detroit on Sunday. He's not going to get this sack right now, but they're going to have to take two. Roberts is going to hit him. He's going to abuse Roberts. Now Decker's going to get him. While that happens, watch the effort here by Akeem Hicks. Look at this effort by the Bears up front. Like laying out, Roquan Smith gets the sack. All right, now let's watch him here against Ricky Wagner, Levine Toilolo. Watch this. Watch the power, the leverage right here. Taking Ricky Wagner back, stabbing him, knocking the hands down, and getting to Stafford. They got to Stafford 6 times in this game. They hit him 8 more times. Khalil Mack was back, and it was the Mack attack. And these Bears, oh my, these Bears. This is not the Bad News Bears. They give bad news to a whole lot of other teams right there. And Khalil Mack is back. Oh. What a morning watching that man play football. Thank you. These Bears? Oh, my.
He had some nice things to say about Matt Nagy. Let's listen to this. This is fun. I love Matt Nagy, and I love the way that Baldy loves Matt Nagy. And tonight when you hit your knees, I want you to never mind.
Let's just watch Matt Nagy here get himself in position to watch this play, and let's watch the reaction. I like a head coach that gets excited. I like a head coach that wants to get out there on the field and do it with the players. Let's watch. head coach Matt Nagy. We'll go back and watch the play and see what he got excited about. Look at this. He's going to get himself a Chicago Bears fist pump right here. Watch him. Here he comes. Go, 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 go. Go get him, Matt. Go get him, Matt. Look at that stride. Dig it in. Striding out. Woo! I think he likes what he sees.
Woo! I love that.
He sounds like the
so
guy
enthusiastic
in like the
Matt
section.
Matt Nagy is very happy.
Oh, Matt Nagy. Yeah, he's very happy. Wouldn't
go
you
get him, Matt. Go get him,
he
Matt.
He didn't look happy when the field goal kicker was on.
No, maybe
there
not.
It was a bad reaction there.
Maybe not. But
that is fun. It's
Baldy
fun
sounds like
Baldy
the guy sitting in the 400 level that's like screaming, looking down at Nagy like, go, Matt Nagy. Go, Matt Nagy.
Yeah. He does. He sounds like the Macho Man.
Go.
Randy
go.
Savage.
Go. Go.
Has the Macho Man shuffled off this mortal coil? I believe he's gone, right?
About 7 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. I was once in a hotel in Westlake, California, and the Macho Man was checking in, and he turned to me, and he said, excuse me, sir, can you tell me where the restroom is? And I was like, I believe someone at the hotel might be able to.
Did you know?
Thank you. No, I was standing in line behind him. I don't know why he chose me to ask
for the
restroom.
Snap into a Slim Jim, right?
But I was kind of like, wow, that's my that was my brush with fame in LA.
Were you intimidated? Were you scared?
The other thing was I went to dinner and sat next to Tom Selleck. He was at the table next to us. It's pretty wild.
That's your brush with fame, Tom Selleck?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Men the with Macho facial Man hair for 500, Alex.
Followed by
on the same trip?
Same trip. Literally, like
that's a lot of
maybe an hour in between.
Yeah,
it was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's
Tom
man.
Selleck, big strong man, big dude. Yeah? Yeah,
Blue Bloods.
What does that mean?
That's the show he's on.
Oh, rich people.
It's a
police show.
NYPD.
Oh,
family.
Really?
All of them are, you know, law enforcement.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think he can pull off Irish cop.
You don't think so? Cop, right? He's been doing it for like 8 years.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Well, anything he wants, he can do. Not everyone on board with the Bears, David. I don't know if that matters to you or not, but you know, we heard a lot of people going off last week on Mitchell Trubisky, and there was a great response. Let's hope Mitch is still in the car or has someone that is monitoring radio, and he can hear what Colin Cowherd had to say about the Bears, because – not a big fan of Mitchell Trubisky.
It ain't Trubisky. Chicago's defense is number one in the NFC, okay? Number four in the NFL. They're number one in turnover differential. Listen, it's a little like Dak. Dak wins last night and everybody freaks out. Well, they had the running game and the defense and they had the lead. Bottom line in Chicago, Matt Nagy is the less well-known version of the Rams, Sean McVay. McVay's got stars offensively. Left tackle, running back, quarterback, receiver. What the Bears are doing right now with Mitch Trubisky, to me, it's the story of the year. I talked to people inside the NFL a year ago that thought maybe the kid was a bust. Trubisky this year, 22 DDs, 7 picks, and a quarterback rating over 101. I don't think it's him, though.
These Bears? Oh, my.
It's not him.
I don't want to get into like the whole, you know,
He's a created player is what it is.
This is opinion, but how do you praise somebody and use statistics to back up that opinion and then say he's not the part of the reason?
Well, he's saying
the team's having success.
I think what he's saying is that Matt Nagy is the new Sean McVay, that he has created this system.
So he's a system quarterback.
But while he's saying he's a system quarterback, he's saying he's not Jared Goff, they're winning, that the story is they're winning on defense, and they by the way, The quarterback is, again, just...
See, I wrote about this, too. I think that when you watch the Bears on Red Zone highlights and ESPN highlights and whatever channel you prefer highlights, then you're going to get snippets, and you may draw that conclusion. I think that if you watch the Bears on a regular basis, though, you see the development that's happening.
No, Mitchell Trubisky is getting better, and he is able to run this scheme better than he was at the beginning of the year. But I do think that the scheme is awful good. I'm not dismissing Mitch's development, because I think that's a big story. But I do think that they are effectively running what Kansas City runs. And we talked about this when the season began. We talked about this at the beginning of the year, this idea that these guys are not running they're not running just a system. They're play collectors. This is not the West Coast offense. It's hard to put a name on it. They collect plays, and any play that works, they're willing to run it. It is a great way of putting together a game plan. This will work here. Let's run. It doesn't matter. What, you know, you might have an outline of a scheme,
yeah,
but you're running play after play after play, and really well thought through, well disguised, really good football plays. And I think they've brought this kid along where he's learning the system as he goes, and he's getting better as the season goes on. I'm going to be really curious to see how he does against that Minnesota defense, against the winning team. And if the Bears have the same kind of performance on Sunday night that they had against the Lions, forget it.
Yeah, well, if they have the same kind of performance Sunday night against the Vikings that they did get into the Lions, you're not going to have many people doubting Mitch Trubisky on Tuesday morning or Monday morning.
One of people calling him a system guy.
Yeah, and I don't think that's why it's entirely fair yet to conclude that. I don't think it's entirely fair or accurate to have any conclusions yet about Mitch Trubisky. Look, the Jared Goff comparison is – I guess, apt because he has the same coach, you know, but you go back a year, what was Jared Goff looking like a year ago? And that's the comparison. Not now. Jared Goff is a much more finished
product.
He's taken
another step forward.
He's won some games.
And he played a ton in college.
Much more.
Yes. So it's a different feeling altogether. And, you know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that he was like the youngest guy in the league his first year, which is one of the reasons he struggled as much as he did. Now he's got some seasoning and some time under his belt and confidence and people around him and all of the wonderful
and,
things.
Oh, Todd Gurley?
About. Yeah. 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 That's
and, you know, Jared Goff is 24 years old. You know how much,
yes,
how old Mitch Trubisky is?
Yes.
24 years old.
Yes, exactly.
Same age.
312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to bring in Greg Gabriel to the conversation. We'll ask him, is it the system? Is it the player? And does it matter? Mullion Hall on the score.
These Bears? Oh, my. Go get them, Matt. Go get him, Matt. Look at that stride. Dig it in. Striding out. Woo!
Smully and Hall. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. And it's time to bring in our guy, Greg Gabriel. And Greg, that was Brian Baldinger breaking down a play and watching Matt Nagy stomping around the sidelines and very happy about it. You know, I don't know how you can be unhappy with what the Bears are doing. I think it's a very interesting time for them because we'll learn even more. By Monday morning, we should have a real good feel for exactly how good this team is and where they stand in the NFC North.
No question. Real big game this week. I look at it this way, that if the Bears have any aspirations of winning the NFC North, this is an absolute must win. That if they lose this game, they're looking at potential wild card playoff spot, but no chance at the NFC North. Now, mathematically, that's not the case, but I think they've got to split with Green Bay, split with Minnesota, and beat Detroit twice to have any shot at winning the NFC North.
You know, Greg, we've been having a conversation always about the quarterback, but I want to look at their linebacker, another first-round pick, Roquan Smith. You write about him on 670thescore.com. Molly and I have had a sort of a conversation about, you know, did they get the right linebacker? Because you look around the league, and there are a lot of good rookie linebackers. The Bills have Tremaine Edmonds. The Colts, I think when you look at Darius Leonard, he's a star. But Roquan Smith has quietly progressed pretty well. He had a sack the other day. He's now had two games in a row. He's had double-digit tackles. How would you compare him to the rest of the linebacker class who are rookies? And how would you describe what he means to the Bears defense?
Well, yeah, I think that if he has a big game this week, because it's going to be on national TV, that he's going to start jumping into this defensive rookie of the year conversation. And the reason I say that, and David, I think both of you guys would be real familiar with this, a lot of times if a guy starts off the season real big, you know, that just sticks with the media, the people that do the voting. And a guy that starts off slow gets kind of left by the wayside. And so you need a national game like the Bears are in this week to to get back up with the other guys. And the one kid is, you know, Derwin James in San Diego. First four games were outstanding for him. But since then, I mean, yeah, he's been a very good player, but he hasn't put up the numbers like he did in those first four games, where in the case of Roquan, you know, he started slowly because he didn't even start the first game, but he did play in a rotation, got the starting role the next week, but he missed all of training camp as far as the football part. You know, he was there for the meetings after, you know, when he missed two preseason games, and then he was in for meetings and stuff, but he wasn't doing as much on the field because of the hamstring problem. And that set him back a little, but I think this guy's a great football player. I had him as the number one linebacker going into the draft, and the reasons were his instincts. He just, you know, you can do two things. You can anticipate or you can react, and he anticipates. And he knows where the ball's going to be. He gets there and he makes plays. You know, comparing him to Edmonds, who Buffalo has, and Edmonds having a good year. I thought he was more of a reactor. And it showed in a lot of misdirection-type plays where Roquan didn't get, you know, fooled anywhere near as much as Edmonds would have gotten fooled in those against those misdirection-type plays. The guy down at Indianapolis, good player, obviously played at a small school, but he stuck out. I think he lasted a little longer because people had questions about his size and he didn't run quite as good as people thought he was going to run. On tape, he looked like a 4-5 guy, and then he ran much slower than that at the combine. But what a great player. And another guy like Roquan, who has really great anticipation type skills. Van Der Esch, if it wasn't for a questionable medical, and there's a bunch of teams that flunked him on the medical because of a neck problem, you know, he would have gone much higher. Really good quality player. I mean, I think for inside linebackers, probably the best class we've had in years.
Hmm. Boy, you know, we were talking about it during the break, and I know you're a good friend of Chris Ballard. The draft class in Indy, suddenly that team is looking really good. That draft class is unbelievable. They got two starting offensive linemen. You mentioned the linebacker. He put together one hell of a draft class.
Well, you know, I think he went in, he looked at the strength of the draft, and he knew what he had to do. And he had a new defense coming in, new type of system. The system, very similar system to what Lovie ran here, and Chris is very familiar with that. So he had to get guys to play that scheme. And so in this draft, he attacked two things, the offensive line and getting defensive players. And I think he's going to do the same thing again next year because that's he's got the quarterback. Now he's got to, you know, take care of the offensive line, the defensive line, get a little bit better in the secondary, and he's going to be fine. But, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He's really, really happy with the way the offensive line is playing. I mean, with 2 weeks in a row, they put it up big yards on the ground, and they've been controlling the game with the run game, and that has him the most pleased because he thinks that, you know, talent-wise, he's still undermanned as compared to, you know, other teams in the league.
So, Greg, when you flip on the tape and you're the Bears coaching staff, offensively, defensively, what are your biggest concerns when the Vikings are on the screen, and what's your biggest concern Sunday night?
I'm just starting to do the breakdown now that I have to do for Pro Football Weekly, but they're a well-rounded team on offense, and you know, they can run the ball well, and I think part of it is, you know, Dalvin Cook coming off an injury, was off to a slow start, then missed some games, but then he had a big game last week, averaged 9 or 10 carries or yards per carry last week. Very athletic. He gives you another dimension as compared to Latavius Murray, who's more of a power guy in the run game. And then you've got between Thielen, Diggs, tight end Kyle Rudolph, and Laquon Treadwell, they got some really good receivers. And, you know, obviously it shows how many completions they have. Got 259 completions already in the game and thrown for almost 2,700 yards. So it's going to be a really tough game for the Bears. I don't know if the weather's going to play into it that much. It's going to be a cold day, but it doesn't look like it's going to be windy or wet. So, you know, I think it's just going to be the better team's going to win, and the defense has got to be ready to play.
We were of the belief at one point that the only thing Minnesota was missing was the quarterback. How do you rate his play this year, and was it accurate?
You know, I think it's too soon, Mike, to say that, you know, is he worth $86 million or $87 million, whatever it was he got, because he's only played a half year in a new scheme. And the scheme is a little bit similar to the Bears scheme. You know, they're offensive coordinator was in Philly the last couple of years, so he's taken a little bit of that, plus his own thoughts with that West Coast offense, and I think they're moving the ball really, really well. Cousins isn't a guy that's going to kill you with the long ball, but with his accuracy on the short, his instincts and the way he can find receivers and go through a progression, he's very, very good, and he's only going to get better as he gets used to playing in this scheme.
All righty, Greg. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys. Yep.
That's our guy, Greg Gabriel. Always interesting to talk to him.
You know, when he talks about that rookie linebacker class,
yep.
And, you know, this is a guy that's been evaluating drafts for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's right. This is as good as you can remember a group of rookie linebackers being, especially at the inside linebacker position. It's impressive.
All righty, that is David Haw. I am Mike Mulligan. We have Zach Zabeman. We like to call him the Ginger Head Genius.
What a treat it is to have Zach here this morning.
He insisted on coming in.
Just saying.
And
you are a rude, terrible person.
No, he's not. He's the opposite
accurate.
Of rude and terrible. He's actually very accommodating, friendly, and smiley.
That's why everyone likes him.
Everybody does like him.
Everyone around here does.
I don't know what you've heard, but that's what I've heard.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about him behind his back, but I love him.
Where is he? Is he here?
I don't know. He won't say anything.
By the way, Mitchell Trubisky, breaking news. Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears quarterback, is the NFC Player of the Week.
Get out of here. Get lost. You lousy rotten. You got to be joking.
No, dead serious.
It's good news.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here's the snap on third and four. Trubisky in a tight pocket, weaving around, trying to find an opening. Finds one and heads right. 25-30, 35, sliding for the first down. Scramble needed four and converts. Trubisky magic.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Trubisky magic.
How about that?
And breaking news.
Yeah. NFC Offensive Player of the Week for Mitch Trubisky. That's
an honor.
Not something that happens a lot in Chicago.
Save that for Dan Bernstein. Yeah. He loves that song.
Last time it happened was 2013, and it wasn't Jay Cutler. It was Josh McCown. And that was the 141.9 passer rating.
Wow.
Kevin Fishbane points that out from The Athletic on Twitter.
Holy
and
cow.
Cutler won back in 2010 and 2009.
Yeah, he won twice. So Mitch,
it's a long
good
time.
As he is no Jay Cutler.
He's no Jay Cutler. Well, they he's got a lot more of an infrastructure offensively than Jay Cutler had.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Brandon Marshall back in the league.
How about that?
Yeah, I was just making fun of Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler and that relationship and that whole thing.
Yeah, boy, there.
Yeah, no. They went to dinner together, and remember when Brandon Marshall, if Jay said some things, boy, if you heard what Jay had to say at dinner, you just wouldn't believe it.
I remember that. They spent all night
about how good
things could be.
Oh, we're going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, you know, that's... That is part of the thing about Mitch Trubisky that I think people appreciate.
That he's not Jay?
That's one of them. He's sort of the anti-Jay. Your BS detector doesn't go off like when he walks in the room. And it's pretty genuine. You know, he's pretty young. I think he's trying to figure out what kind of guy he's going to be publicly. I think he's trying to figure out his personality, maybe how much he wants to share, how much he doesn't want to share. And that's all fine, because when you succeed on the field, as he has,
yes,
at times, the rest will come.
At times.
At times. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you know, every week seems to be a referendum on Mitch Trubisky, and that's not fair to him.
Yes.
And it's a product of where we are, you know, in in sports. We do that all the time.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we asked the question this morning about is this a Mitch story? Is it a Nagy story? And you added, is it a Ryan Pace story? What's the highlight of this story? I would say that whether they win or lose, we won't tear into Matt Nagy. Be very unlikely. We won't go after Ryan Pace. But if they lose the game, Mitch will be front and center, and the criticism will be on him. The importance of the quarterback position means that you get probably more glory than you deserve. You certainly get more blame than you deserve.
Absolutely true. And that's tried and true in the NFL. But, okay, let's also take a step back. You mentioned, and we talked about the Ryan Pace story, and we go back to January and everything that's changed since then. Go back to August, and when you had expectations for this season, you would have taken...
Oh, you'd run like a thief in the night.
The record, was almost secondary to the idea that you needed to, in 2018, develop your quarterback.
Yes.
After 16 games, you wanted to feel good about one position, and if you did, that was going to be the definition of success for 2018, right?
Okay, so what changed it?
Khalil Mack changed it.
No question, no shadow of a doubt.
Khalil Mack changed it. And yes. I think to Mitch Trubisky's credit, he's taken advantage of this opportunity to be a winning quarterback and all that comes with that. And I think that he has provided enough tangible results to come close to equaling his intangibles, which are very good.
And the caveat to that is that this is their team. This is their team. When you watch them take the field, you're watching all the work that Ryan Pace put together, including next year's first and second round pick and the year after's first round pick, and they're missing a third in there somewhere. I'm just saying, when you look at the team they put together, they have invested future assets.
Yes.
A lot of them.
That's a great observation, Molly. You're in the local sports context. You're watching the 2009 Blackhawks. You're watching the 2015 Cubs. That's not predicting the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl next year. I'm just saying that when you say that they have their team, this is when they begin the trajectory of success here. This is when they begin to win. Whatever happens this year, and it looks like they should. You'd be disappointed, admit it. You'll be disappointed as a Bears fan if they don't get to the playoffs this year.
Okay, but, you know, here's the problem with that. This game, you cannot undersell the importance of this game because they have to win the division. If you don't win the division, you're going to be a road team going to the Los Angeles Rams or the New Orleans Saints. And I don't have a lot of faith. As opposed to hosting a game at home
let's play that out who
are the wild card teams right
so,
now?
So I mean, so your wild card team may be the Panthers.
I would feel good about that
at home against the Panthers.
I would think that Cam doesn't scare you throwing the ball. He scares you running the ball.
Back to back against
the
Vikings
is fantastic. The Vikings coming in here, if you beat them and you show that you can beat them. On Sunday night, I don't think you feel bad about that. If you're on the road at the Vikings, it means you lost the division. If you're on the road at the Saints, at the Rams, and I know they play the Rams here, but I don't know that there's a lot of carryover from those games. I think it's hard for a young team to go on the road.
Your point's not lost on me. I don't totally disagree with that at all, because that's the NFL. You can't win on the road in the playoffs with a young quarterback typically. But you know what? I think that at that point in time, if you got into the postseason, no matter how you get there, you're going to feel good about it.
But I'm saying if you win this game, then the conversation that we have before Thursday will not be, oh my gosh, you know, isn't it great? It will be, can they make noise in the playoffs? It'll change from just are they a good team, because they'll have proven that. They'll be taking control of the NFC North in a way that we haven't seen them do in a number of years.
Since 2010.
And then you will expect noise. And noise is playoff wins. It's good.
Gonna be, oh, that's a good kind of noise.
It'd be fantastic.
That's the kind of noise you like. That's the kind of welcome.
About it. Yeah. No doubt about it.
But I think that it's also what we talked about yesterday with when Dan and Connor came in about getting greedy. I mean, then you would be winning. You want to win all three
no
of
question.
These games in a row. three games in 12 days. If you can win them all, wow, then you're talking about something.
Let's get to John. He's listening online, and he sounds like a greedy man. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Real quickly, I had the Bears 11-5 at the beginning of the year. I thought I was crazy. They're going to win Sunday night, 31-14. The quarterback from Minnesota is going to get knocked out in the first quarter, and we can rewrite the quarter of the year. It's Miller time. It's going to be Miller this Sunday night.
All right. Thanks, Cap. We appreciate the call. Interesting to hear from
Miller. Mr. Miller time.
I said, thanks, Cap. Appreciate the call. Because he called it before the year began. It was a joke.
Okay.
Who has been puffy-chested about
picking nine victories. But he did it before Khalil Mack was traded to the Bears.
And I think that's what you're saying. The conversation has changed.
It has changed.
I get it. I mean, he was right, but but if they're 9-7 now, David, that'd be a disappointment.
If they're 9-7 now, that means they will have
They will have lost to Minnesota, and they will lose to the Rams, and they will have lost to Minnesota again, and maybe Green Bay in there. And that you know, then you're expecting them, you know, again, if they can't beat Minnesota, they still have away games at Detroit, the Giants, and San Francisco, all of which look really winnable. But if you can't beat Minnesota,
you
lose one of those?
You're 6-3.
Could you end up 8-8? I'm just saying.
Among your seven games left, you have one against the Lions, one against the 49ers, one against the Giants. If you finish 3-4, you're going to feel a letdown.
You will. You will.
You're looking at 10 wins.
If you win 9
minimum.
Games, you get minimum. Because that means you're going to have to beat another good team. But hopefully they get this Minnesota game done, and we are talking about 11-5. It's pretty good stuff.
11-5 would be a really good year.
It would be absolutely unbelievable. But again, would they get there without having made that trade for Khalil Mack?
No.
And that trade would have been all about ambition, all about greed, and all about getting there and fast forwarding. And I think we're all about that too. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.